This is your podcast for all things refinishing. I'm Lane Ball with Zebras Before and After. Welcome to Season 4, Episode 1. Today, we chat with the winners of the November Zebra Review discussing their pieces and how to maintain balance in your business. Lee with Gray Horse CC shares a refinishing tip on creating list-free refinishing projects. We'll find out what Caitlin with Lake Simcoe Furniture Revival, Jill with Voltage, and Maggie with Pinch of Paint are working on in their studios this week. And you'll hear a short new segment called The Beginner's Bucket, and Sarah Bolton with Sitting Pretty Home Decor answers this week's question, how to get your family involved in helping out in your refinishing business. Stay with us. We have the inspiration, fun, and community that will platform your day. We are taking time in the new year to make sure we honor our winners from our Zebra fourth quarter contest. And one of those contests was our November Zebra Review. November was Lung Cancer Awareness Month, and the white ribbon represents the desire to see an end to this ravaging disease. With that in mind, the judges, along with Zebra, decided to make the contest theme for November all about whites in memory of those who fought the battle hard against lung cancer and in honor of those who are fighting it as we speak. Today, we are highlighting our winners. They are Juanita with Painted by Heart by Hand, formerly known as Imperfectly Chippy, and Juanita won first. Karen with Sycamore and Pine winning second, and Sarah with Pop Savage winning third. Congratulations, winners. Well done. Beautiful pieces.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lane.
For our listeners, to put a timestamp on a recording, this is mid-January. With that in mind, I wanted to give each of you a chance to share where you're from and certainly a weather update on this mid-January 2022 day. Sarah, let's start with you. Where are you from and what's the weather report?
Sure. So I am in the DC area and it's, you know, a typical winter day here. It's in the 30s and it's, we kind of got a little bit of snow, slushy snow over Sunday into Monday. And so that's kind of it melting slowly. It's just kind of that nasty, dreary time of the year here.
Yeah. I guess it's just expected, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Starts getting a little gloomy.
Yeah, that's hard. But I guess these hard winter days make us appreciate spring, or at least long for spring anyway.
Absolutely.
So you probably have great clientele for your furniture because you're pretty close to Baltimore too as well, right?
I am. Yeah. I actually go to Baltimore sometimes to find pieces there's a really big indoor salvage yard that I love in Baltimore. But yeah, there's DC, Baltimore, and then all the little suburbs around DC, there's a lot of good old furniture, like in Bethesda where I live, Chevy Chase, and then like Arlington area. There's people always reselling their old stuff. So yeah. Wow.
You're making some of these people living way, way, way out in rural areas jealous.
Yeah, I live in a great area for that.
Yeah, that's nice. Well, Karen, location and weather.
Well, I am in the suburbs of Buffalo, New York. So normally this time of year would be super cold and lots of snow. We've had a very mild winter. Actually, yesterday and the day before, we actually got some snow. So I was so pumped because I love snow. I live for it all year. So we got dumped with probably a good 18 to 20 inches, I would say.
Oh, my word.
Wow. So,
that's crazy. Wow.
That is a lot.
Yeah. So I am like in my element. I just, like I said, I live for this all year. So I've been waiting and waiting. So today it's not snowing anymore. It's just kind of sitting there all pretty and nice. And yeah, so I'm enjoying it a lot, getting the dog outside and playing in the snow quite a bit. So
yeah.
Yeah. Well,
you guys probably have really good, Department of Transportation probably does a good job of keeping the roads clear. I mean, even when you get 18 inches, I mean, are you still able to like get out in your car?
For the most part, I mean, it depends on where you are. So I am kind of on the border between like the county and then like the town. So it just depends on who comes down the street and who plows. But they do a really good job on my street because I get a lot of through traffic here. But the throughways and the highways are always plowed. So they do a pretty good job with that.
Yeah, well, things tend to shut down in the South. We just don't have the equipment or the experience. You know? Yeah,
I lived in Texas for a few short years, and even when it rained, people just like totally freaked out. I'm like, guys, it's just water. But I get I get it. They're not as conditioned to it as I am, I guess.
Right. Well, Juanita, location and weather for you.
Well, I live in California, and the weather is perfect. Ooh. I can't say that.
Oh, man.
We had rain yesterday. It's been raining, so it's good for us because we really need the rain. So that makes me happy. I love the rain, so when it rains, I'm in the mood for start painting. I love painting when it's raining, so
yeah, that is nice.
It's nice. It's nice. I can't complain at all.
Yeah. I've always said, I don't mind the rain and I love the sun. I just don't like the gray days, you know, when there's like clouds clouds with no purpose. Like if there's going to be clouds, you need to drop water.
You know, when was gray here? It was the day that we had this tsunami thing, the volcano. Did you guys hear about it? Mm-hmm. That day was moody, cloudy, gray. It was a very weird day. Weird.
Yeah, so you could tell from just the atmosphere that something was going on.
Yes.
Wow. Well, it's neat to get these updates, especially when we're in a lot of different locations. So thanks for doing that. Listeners, stay tuned because after we discuss their pieces, we're going to have a panel discussion on maintaining balance in your business. Also, you can see the pieces we're discussing by going to our enjoyzebra.com site and scroll to the bottom and click on podcast. Well, we always want to take time to learn more about these winning pieces. So here is how our discussion will unfold. I'll ask each refinisher to describe their piece, and then the other refinishers will ask a few questions, and I will lob a few questions their way as well. Let's start with Juanita. Juanita, you won first place with your Jacobean China buffet. Describe it for us.
Well, the first thing I love about milk paint and the cabinet, I just love milk paint. And when I see these ornate pieces, they speak to me, milk paint. I love cheapy, but not that much cheapy, like kind of a nice look. It's kind of a weird to explain it, but I like that cheapiness to look beautiful. Mm-hmm. Not that sometimes when I get that too much cheapiness, I start standing back off and start painting back on. And it's kind of, I don't know how to describe it, but I don't like that much cheapiness on my pieces. I do love it, but not that much. It's just kind of weird for me.
Yeah.
Like more clean, like to look more, a little bit more cleaner.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's just sort of the clean and classic with a little bit of a chippiness going on.
Uh-huh.
Describe this piece from a visual standpoint because it's very different. So it's a buffet, Jacobean, so it's got those heavy legs, those heavy ornate legs, but it also has sort of an arch at the top, correct?
Yes, it has an arch. It also has the fretwork. I stripped the bottom legs of the piece and also the fretwork, and then after that, I sand them, wash them, and sand them. And the inside of the cabinet was way too dark. So I went ahead and stripped the inside too and then sand. It took me like two or almost 3 weeks to complete the piece. And first of all, what takes me longer, I think, is to prepping the piece because when we use milk paint, we don't use primer or anything, so it takes me like 4 long days just to prep the piece and get that to create that cheapiness of the piece because I didn't want it that much. I also have to scuff sand the piece so it won't look that too much cheapiness.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a long process.
Yeah. Well, you won first place, so all that work paid off, didn't it?
Sure. Thank you.
Yeah. So, Sarah and Karen, do you guys have any questions for Juanita?
Yeah. I was just curious if I have this right. Did you end up keeping this beautiful piece.
Thank you, ladies. But I keep the piece. And believe me, I got so many DMs wanting to buy they wanted to buy the piece, but I can't let it go. I have to keep it. Yeah. So it's in my bedroom. So I have it full with my like towels, and I put personal things, and
yeah.
So I kept it for me.
That's perfect.
Yeah. We deserve to keep something once in a while. For sure. Yes.
I don't have that many pieces either. I only have probably like 4.
Well, I was going to say, like, you stage inside your home, right?
I stage inside my home, and I paint inside my home. Yeah. That's why I love about milk paint too, because it's 0 VOC. So since I have my grandkids with me and...
Right.
And
it's safe.
I paint inside the house, but I do work outside, like when I'm prepping and everything inside. But once it's ready to start painting, I bring it into my living room. That's my studio.
I love that.
Yeah.
It definitely goes with like the style of your home. So I think it makes sense that you kept
for
one
sure.
for yourself.
Thank God I was able to keep one. I don't have a lot of space.
Yeah.
So it makes it a little bit harder, but sometimes we have to let them go.
Yes.
Right. Usually we have to let them go. So it's nice when you can keep one. I wanted to ask you, Juanita, what do you use to top coat your milk paint? Do you do hemp oil or?
You know, since before when I started using milk paint, I noticed that the pieces were like chipped a lot, and I had to use the top coat from the same brand that I used to paint. But then I realized that I don't like, it has a little bit of sheen on the pieces, and I don't like that. Mm. So they have this beeswax, and it's so smooth. Mm-hmm. And oh my God, I have never seen this type of wax that you seal the piece and automatically you don't see that sheen. It's like kind of a flat. And that's what I like about that wax.
Well, that's
and
great.
You don't see that sheen at all. So, and it seals the piece perfectly. And I really like using that beeswax to seal the pieces.
Good to know.
Yeah, because I don't like them when they're too shiny. Because I don't know why, but I don't like that shininess of the pieces.
Yeah, I think with milk paint too, you don't want it to be shiny. It looks beautiful.
I thank you so much, girls. Congratulations to you both. You guys did them. You guys inspired me to create this piece.
Oh, same.
Well, we're getting some secrets from Juanita here, aren't we? Hey, Juanita, if you would describe your style for us.
You know, I'm an old soul. I do love ornate pieces. I love pieces that make a statement for your home, pieces that you don't see them and you don't buy them at the store. I'm always looking for those pieces. And my husband just helps me a lot. So I like, sometimes I do love other styles too. But here to buy an MCM piece, I love that style. They're like over $1,000 just to buy one. So
yeah,
they're very pricey. Mm-hmm. And these ornate pieces that I buy, they're like $350, $400.
Wow.
It's very expensive. It's getting out of control. And in order for me to make money, I cannot buy a piece more than $350 or $400. Yeah. Otherwise, I'm just going to keep the piece and not sell it. But I'm getting a little bit smarter, though. Now I'm going on Facebook Marketplace and looking and seeing, and like I just buy a vanity and it was a good price and it was $250. And I call it a good price because they're extremely expensive here. I don't know why.
Yeah.
And then if you go ahead and try to sell them, they want to give you $5 for it. So.
Yeah.
That's not okay.
Yeah. You don't have to tell us that twice, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Yes. Thank you so much. Thank you, Lane. Thank you, girls.
Yes, it's beautiful.
Yeah, you need to show your clients the bill of sale on the piece before you started it. My goodness. Well, really lovely piece, Juanita. So, Juanita, share your Instagram account with our listeners.
My Instagram account is Painted by Heart by Hand. I did put an underscore there in Perfectly Cheapy.
Do you have a Facebook page as well?
I do have one, but I don't understand nothing. So I don't get on it. I'm scared to push a button that I'm not supposed to.
Okay, so you're primarily an Instagram person. Okay.
Instagram. And you know, I always take care of myself if things happen to me.
Well, all right. Well, at least our listeners can start following you if they aren't already. So that's good. And again, congratulations.
Thank you, Lane.
Well, Karen, you won second place. You painted this beautiful buffet, and it's an interesting story because this was in your home for 8 years, and then you decided to paint it and part with it. Describe it for our listeners.
Yeah, this is a very cool piece. I had it in three different houses over the last 8 years, so it's, you know, been with my family, very sentimental to me. I had moved a different piece into the same spot where I had this one, and I realized it was much better size for that room. So I just kind of kept moving the buffet around the house, and it really wasn't fitting anywhere. And I said, I think it's time to let it go. So I dragged it out to my workshop, and I really wasn't excited to work on it right away just because I knew it was going to be a lot of work. So it's solid oak, like solid white oak. It's just made so well. And I knew I wanted to get it down to the bare wood. So me, I don't use stripper. I only use like eco-friendly products. So it was a lot of hand sanding, lots of raw fingertips. And I did use, you know, my surf prep and everything too to help me. But that took, I thought mine took a lot of time, but after hearing Juanita, I can't really say it probably took that much time. But yeah, it's just a really interesting piece. I don't know. I am more along the style line of like very simple lines. I don't like a lot of curves and a lot of detail. So I did actually remove some of the embellishments on it just to give it more of a simple clean look that I like. And so, yeah, after I sanded it all down, I did do like a bleach treatment. So it's like a 1-to-1 bleach mixture that I make. And I put 3 coats of that on. You just let it dry in between. And then once you get the desired, I guess, look, then you do like a 1-to-1 mix of vinegar and water. And that will kind of neutralize the bleaching process. So I did that. And I had planned on keeping the whole piece just bare like that. But I ended up just feeling like it needed something more to make it really stand out because it's just so unique. So I decided to get a new can of paint that I had ordered, and that was Fairwind Ball's drop cloth. So it's like a warm white with gray undertones. It's just so pretty. It just, you can put it anywhere. There's no questioning whether it's going to work in your space. It'll just literally go anywhere. Mm-hmm. So I just painted like the body, the frame, and then the drawer fronts. And I really liked it. I took a minute to think about it because I wasn't sure if I wanted to paint like the whole part, like the legs and everything. But I reached out to a good friend, and she's like, no, I would just leave it like that. So that's what I did.
And it's gorgeous.
Thank you. And I did add some new black poles. It had these like brass drop poles, which I still have. They're really, really neat, but it just wasn't my style. So I took them off and added these. And yeah, so that's it. And I had no intention of entering it into the Zebra review at all. And I had a couple friends message me, and they're like, you should really enter it. And I was like, okay, like, I don't know. I'm not competitive at all. Like, not saying this is competitive, but it is a little bit. So I was like, all right, I will. And I really was not expecting it to win. So totally shocked. But I'm very humbled, and it went off to a good home. New family with a little baby. Couldn't be happier where it is. So happy.
Yay.
Yeah.
Very cool. Nice.
Yeah.
Sarah and Juanita, any questions for Karen?
Yeah. I love it. When you look at the before, and then the after, I love how much more streamlined you made it look. I guess you said you removed some stuff from it, but once you painted it that white color, it just brought, I don't know, it was like meant to be that way. I just,
so much light.
Yeah, it just like cleaned it up nicely, and it looks so good. And I love the warm white that you chose. But I wanted to ask you, painting white is tricky for a lot of people because when you top coat it, it can yellow on you.
Sure.
And so I'm curious, you don't usually use poly, I don't think. So what do you use to like top coat your white paint?
Well, this one I used wax. I believe I used wax, yes, on that part. So I do also use a poly, that's a varnish more or less. This one is from Wise Owl, but that one does not yellow at all. So that is my go-to. Yeah, that's my go-to. It's the only top coat I use, actually. I have like very specific products I use, and I don't stray away from them because if they work for me, I just...
Right.
I mean, I know there's 1.5 million paint companies now, but I know what I like and I just stay in my lane. But yeah, it can be tricky with white for sure. And I've definitely had pieces in the past where I've had to repaint them because it just, you know, wasn't working out. But this one was very cooperative. So, and that's what I used on the wooden parts of the buffet. I used that Wise Owl varnish and a matte finish.
The varnish.
Yeah.
Oh, good to know.
Yeah, I have to try it.
I paint white almost everything, so.
Yeah, you should try it.
I'm going to have to get that.
I was going to ask you about your eco-friendly paint. Mm-hmm. So, because I'm always curious how this works. So do you get like just cans of it with no color and then you just take it up to like your local hardware shop and have them tint it? Or how do you do that?
Okay, so the brand I use it's called Eco's Paints. I've used them for a very long time. If you go on their website, they have their own colors, but you can click on a spot where you can put in a custom color. So they'll match like any brand. So Edmore or Sherwin-Williams.
Oh, that's
nice. And it gives me such a huge like creative ability to pick the colors I want. And I won't even tell you how long it takes me to pick colors when I buy paint. It's just not worth telling you. It's a little insane. But anyway, yeah, so I just put in the, you know, the paint code number and they tint it for me and then they ship it to me. Yeah, and I usually get like the matte finish or the chalkboard finish and it just works so well. It's just...
And then they just ship it to you?
Yeah. Yeah.
And how long does it take you to get? I just love this idea.
It's not that long. I would say the turnaround time, maybe 1.5 weeks at the most.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Good to know. I always wondered how that worked with your paint.
Yeah. I don't generally like share it a lot, but when people ask me, I absolutely share it because it just opens up like a whole new world of color for you.
Yeah.
I love it. I love it because you can, I paint inside my house, so I'm very interested about what you're saying about your paint, so I might give it a try.
And I have a spot on my website where I talk about, like, the different products that I use and stuff, because I've spent a lot of time researching, like, products that'll work for me, because I'm really sensitive to smell, and it's also one of my business models to be as eco-friendly as I can possibly be, that I can afford, and so I've really put together a nice, like, just bunch of products that I love to use pretty much exclusively.
Thank you for sharing that with us.
That's great.
Yeah. Anytime.
Juanita, any specific questions for Karen?
Yes. Well, I'm loving everything that she's saying. So I'm going to, so when you ordered your paint, you order it through online or?
Yep. It's just through their website, Eco's Paint.
Through their website. Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Karen, you mentioned earlier that that you like the lines and furniture, not a lot of curves. So having said that, like what is your style? Like, is it like, how would you describe it?
Well, I'm definitely very into primitives. I love that look. I like shaker style furniture. And I've been diving into a little bit of my own woodworking skills. So I'm like kind of trying to teach myself how to make, you know, like basic tables and plant stands and stuff, which kind of model that style. So I'm having fun with that.
Yeah. Well, I'm actually patting myself on the back because I was thinking, you know, your style is sort of a shaker style. And I just wanted to add, because how long ago was it that you redid a place? Is that in your garage where you do staging?
Yeah, we have a garage that came with our house. It's set apart, you know, far away from our house by the road. I guess it used to be an old horse stable, like many, many years ago. And we actually just put some work into it about a year and a half ago. So I have my own staging workshop area.
It's gorgeous. Thank you. I love it.
It's gorgeous.
It's the perfect staging area.
It was, I gotta say, it was really fun to just make that little space exactly like that's me. Like my name is written all over that. I did all the work.
Yeah.
And the barn has character. It's got like these old beams and it's, I want to live in that little room sometime.
Yeah. Me too.
So yeah. So I'm actually right above that. Now we have a little man cave kind of set up in the loft here where my kids hang out. So it's aww. Nice because I'm down there and they'll be up here. So I don't always feel like I'm completely removed from the family, which is nice. Yeah.
Yeah. What a really cool setup you have. That's
yeah.
neat.
Yeah. I mean, it hasn't always been that way. I used to work out of a old basement in my first house. You know, we had a Bilco doors and I'd be dragging stuff up and down the stairs. So I guess I've earned this nice space, but I haven't always had one. So I don't take it for granted for sure.
And Karen, I had one more question for you before you go.
Yeah, sure.
Who or what inspired you to start this small business of yours?
Well, it's a little bit of a long story, so I will try to condense it as much as I can. I was a stay-at-home mom with my two boys. You know, I was home with them all the time. So I was looking for kind of a creative outlet to, you know, to express my interests. So I kind of was started painting things here and there for our home, you know, on a budget, kind of how a lot of people start. And then at the time I was noticing my younger son, he started having seizures. So we were kind of thinking, we didn't really know what was going on. We did a lot of tests and nothing gave us anything that we could go with. So I took a step back and I just kind of evaluated our home life. And I said, well, we've been painting a lot in the house. So, you know, at the time we were like, you know, redoing the paint on the walls and doing some minor construction. And I said, I bet just like all the chemicals in the paint and stuff are, maybe they're mm-hmm. just affecting him because they affect yeah. me. So, yeah. Just being this little 3-year-old body, you know? So, yeah, I just kind of stopped using them and he kind of just grew out of it. It was the weirdest thing. Wow. Like we still don't know, but he's totally fine. But that was kind of the point where I really just made a commitment to running my business later on this way. I mean, I kept moving forward using, you know, clean products in my home and stuff, but I wasn't really like concrete in my business at that point. I was just kind of playing around at home. But when I decided to take it more seriously and make an income out of it, it was basically my top priority that I always make that my number one, you know, point of interest for my business. And I like that it's a little different because not many people can say that. So it means a lot to me that it's just always been something that I commit to. But I'm always happy like to share, like I said, all the things that I use because the more people that are doing it this way, the better, I think.
That's mm-hmm. good. Thank
yeah.
you.
Yeah. Thanks for mm-hmm. asking.
Well, we're certainly glad to hear that your son's doing well. That's wonderful news. And
yeah.
Certainly this piece is really unique, as you even said, Karen, and you did a tremendous job.
Thank you.
So nice work. Congratulations. Share your Instagram account with our listeners.
Sure. So it's sycamore_and_pine. So the sycamore right. pine are like the trees because I love trees. So.
And are you on Facebook?
I am. I'm at Sycamore and Pine, all spelled out. I'm not as active on Facebook. I don't really like Facebook too much these days. So I go on there occasionally, but Instagram is definitely my go-to at this point.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Very good. All right, Sarah, you won third place. Yours is a campaign style chest. And did I read right that this piece is going all the way to Australia?
I feel like we're having deja vu because I think we talked about this on the last podcast when it was a campaign style piece as well.
Exactly.
Wow.
And it's going to Australia with the same customer that got the last one. She was my neighbor and she worked at the embassy here, Australian embassy, and she bought a few of my pieces before when she lived here, but she's back home now and has a couple of her friends still working here. And so she wanted it and they're going back home soon. So they're going to take it back with them so she can have it. And so I brought it to them and it's going across the pond.
That's awesome.
That's so nice.
Such an incredible compliment. Yeah. My goodness.
Isn't that amazing? And it takes her forever to get it because it's they do it by ship and it, you know, she doesn't get it for, I don't know, 6 months or something later. But yeah.
Oh,
so
she's
so supportive.
I guess it's sort of appropriate with this style of piece, right? Because aren't the campaign styles, weren't they known
for travel?
They travel
well, yeah.
I didn't know that. That's cool.
Yeah, I think they were like old suitcases, like big, giant suitcases.
It's gorgeous. It's beautiful lines.
Thank you.
Very simple and elegant.
Yes. Thank you very much. I love it.
Yeah, describe it for listeners, like the color you used and what it is exactly.
So when I found it on Marketplace, it was just a big brown box. Really, the hardware is what caught my eye with it. And so I had to have it. And I got it home. And if you look at the before, I took the base off. It was just so clunky and heavy and it really weighed it down. So I cut the whole base off and added legs. And I think that really helped it out. But when I did that, it messed up the alignment really bad on the drawers. And that really is what took me so long with this piece, but I was like so committed to doing it. Normally I would give up on drawers that don't line up, but I was determined and it took me forever to get them just right. A lot of trial and error and they finally started sliding correctly. So that was my big issue with this piece. But as far as I knew, I wanted it to be white because it was just so clean and simple. But at first I wanted to do white with black legs and to paint the hardware black. And I actually did do that at first. It had legs on it and everything. But the hardware, it's that original campaign hardware that's like inset. And it rubs too much for you to really paint it. And it, no matter how I painted it, I did the priming and this everything, it would rub the paint off the hardware. So I had to rethink the whole piece and order different gold legs and re-clean the hardware. And so it ended up turning out like this. And I love how the hardware ended up turning out. I should have just done
that
to begin with. Yeah, it's beautiful hardware. And I didn't really even do much to it. I think I just cleaned it up good and did a little bit of rub and buff of some, I think, antique gold just to kind of give it a little bit more of a polish. But I didn't want it to be super bright gold. I wanted it to look kind of like brassy. I did a cabinet type paint on it too. So it's like an enamel.
Nice.
Paint. Yeah. Mostly because I didn't want to top coat it with it being white. Mm-hmm. And that enamel paint is like a semi-gloss finish. So you don't have to top coat it. And it's one of my go-to white colors when I do white. It's, Bear Palais White, Palais. And it's just like a kind of a warm white, but it's not too warm. I find it looks really good on modern pieces.
Karen and Juanita, questions for Thera?
So Sarah and I consider you a very close friend in this furniture world on Instagram. We talk a lot.
I
aside.
Do. We do.
So I feel like I know you enough to say that this piece just has your name all over it. Like I would be able to tell this is yours in a heartbeat. It's just you in a nutshell.
That's the best compliment, by the way. When people tell me that, it really makes me happy when I hear that.
Yeah, it's just, you know, you've honed in on your art and you've perfected it. And this is Sarah right here. So,
thank you, Karen.
I wanted to know, like, I guess you've maybe answered this a little bit already, but Did you have a vision when you bought this? Like, did you know what you wanted it to look like? Or were you kind of open to, like, had you not decided yet?
It's a good question. I knew I was going to be doing a white piece because before the Zebra contest, I was already planning on doing a white piece for lung cancer awareness in honor of my mother who passed in 2020 in November. And so I was trying to pick a piece, and I had another couple of pieces in stock that I was thinking maybe I would do those in white, because usually when I do campaign, well, I haven't done a ton, but usually when I see a campaign piece, I think it should be like a bold color, like a jewel tone or something fun. And so I didn't immediately think white. And then when I started really like honing down on a plan, I think I just, I did settle on white. And so it definitely wasn't my original plan,
yeah,
for sure.
Okay.
Yeah. It sort of made me work for it.
Mm-hmm. I get that.
Yeah.
Juanita, your question for Sarah?
Yes. I want to ask her the same question I asked to Karen. Who or what inspired you, Sarah, to start your little small business?
Sure. So I think a lot of refinishers that I've heard, even on this podcast, a lot of them are in healthcare and are nurses. And I'm a nurse by trade, and I was finishing up my master's degree, and I was like restless. I had been writing papers for a year and working and just like inside all the time. And I needed like a creative outlet, something to just do that didn't have anything to do with my career. And I always, like when I was younger, would go thrifting with my family and go to little antique shops and stuff like that. And so I started just looking for it as a form of therapy in a way. And I loved the process of like finding the piece just as much as I loved like bringing it home and deciding what I would do to it. And at first it definitely was just a hobby. And I was doing things around our house, like a lot of people start out doing. And then it slowly just got to the point where I couldn't really keep any of the stuff anymore. I didn't have any where else to put it.
Yep.
And so I started selling them, and it just kind of grew from there. And now it's my full-time gig. I retired from nursing.
Oh my God, I love that.
Yeah. And it worked out.
You're taking care of something just in a different way.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
You're fulfilling that part of yourself still. So that's awesome.
Totally. Yeah. And it's much healthier for me.
Yes, it is. Believe it or not, painting, once I feel the paintbrush in my hand, everything fades. I get lost.
Yeah.
Right.
It's just so... I love hand brushing, and just brushes. It's like the most precious gift. If they want to give me a gift, brushes. I accept all brushes. I love brushes. I don't know why. I have so many of them.
I think you're talking to the right podcast.
Yes, you are.
Yeah.
Juanita, that's music to our ears.
Yes, I love hand brushing. For me, it's the best thing ever.
I agree.
It's something that... It's like if you're traveling, it's like, I don't know, but it takes me to, sometimes I'm hand brushing, and sometimes I can remember like my second grade teacher, did. It's just so magical. I don't know about, what is it about a hand, once you feel that hand brush in your hand, it's just so magical. It's magic.
I agree with you. It's super cathartic. I mean, it's just like an extension of your psyche, I think. You know, you just get it in your hand and you just go with the flow.
And I don't know, but it's just so, it amazed me how these three pieces that you guys ladies create and I create, they're totally three different pieces, completely different. And
they are
both three pieces are like gorgeous and amazing, and every single one of them tells a story. And that's the beauty of us as furniture artists that we meet through Instagram. Like, it's just so beautiful, and I love the community, the connection that we all have, and it's so beautiful. I admire you ladies. Thank you for inspiring me daily.
The feeling is very mutual.
Absolutely. Yeah, we all need each other. It's quite a nice circle here.
Yes.
For sure.
That is well said, Juanita. Sarah, describe your style for us.
So I wouldn't describe it as a particular style of furniture, because I like painting all different styles of furniture. If you look on my feed, you'll see like Queen Anne style and some mid-century. I kind of take what I can get as far as style locally, but as far as how I paint them or refinish them, I tend to be, I don't distress. So I'm kind of clean lines, clean and classic. I do like to try fun colors. Sometimes I'll do them just like inside of a cabinet versus on the outside or things like that. I try to be open to different things. I don't try to make myself stick to just mid-century or just, you know, Heppelwhite or any particular thing, but I do prefer solid wood. So and that's not always easy to come by, but if it's a solid wood piece, that's really my favorite, and I kind of go from there. But yeah, I love when people tell me they know a piece is mine when they see it, because it's not an easy thing to describe, but it's just how it makes someone feel.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that is a tremendous compliment. Well, this piece is a gorgeous piece. It turned out quite lovely. And how sweet as well that you did this in memory of your mom. She would be deeply moved, I'm sure. So nice work. Congratulations. Well, again, share your Instagram account with our listeners or Facebook page or anything else you have that you'd like folks to know so they can follow you.
All right. So I'm at Pop Salvage on Instagram, PopSalvage. And I am on Facebook as well, Pop Salvage. And I do post on there, but I'm not really that active. I just don't really love Facebook, but I have it there just in case I do get like messages on there sometimes from people. So I do keep it going, but better to reach me on Pop Salvage on Instagram.
Excellent.
Hi, this is Kate with Kate's Reclaimed, and this podcast is sponsored by my friends at Zebra. My favorite brush, my favorite brushes, but I'll talk about my first favorite, is the Palm Pro, and it's my favorite. It's very easy to use, to work with on any sort of piece of furniture that you would be painting. It's small, sleek, and it fits right into the palm of your hand. And the other brush that I have been gravitating towards lately is the fan brush. I'm kind of using this one on smaller pieces with smaller surface area and more detail, but I'm really liking the fan brush as well. Zebra, you guys do a great job. Thank you for everything that you do for this community, and I hope everybody's having a wonderful day.
Well, it's time for our Zebra panel discussion. Last time I checked, there are 7 days in a week and 24 hours in a day. We haven't extended those as far as I know, but it seems like even though our weeks and days are the same, time-wise, our demands continue to grow. For most refinishers, they don't just do refinishing. For many, refinishing is a second job if it isn't their primary, and often they are running their homes, taking care of their families. So this leads to a bit of a challenge. Our discussion today is designed to be an encouragement for you, our listeners. I'm sure as our panel discusses this all-important topic of maintaining balance in your business, you will learn from each other and be inspired. Well, panelists, we're eager to hear how you maintain balance in your business.
All right. Well, this is Karen. I'm just going to go over 4 very simple points that I wrote down, because these have helped me a lot. And I'm not perfect. I wouldn't say I'm 100% balanced on any given day, but it's something to work towards. So my first priority is just getting in some daily exercise before I start work. So whether I take the dog for a walk or I do something else for myself, it just kind of puts my energy right. And it just helps me like stay on task the whole rest of the day. And my second tip is I try not to overwhelm myself with a lot of inventory. Well, for one, I just don't have the space to store it, but I find when I have too much stuff, it's really hard to get started because I just can't put my attention on one thing, you know? And the third thing is I try to stay on top of all my paperwork, taxes, and my spreadsheets and just how I organize my business. So at the end of the year, when I'm doing my taxes and things like that, I'm not like overwhelmed by all of the receipts and all that stuff. So keeping on top of that is super helpful. And the last one, which is probably the biggest one for me, is having boundaries on social media. So Instagram can have this love-hate relationship for me. So I have, over the last few years, I have decided that beginning of the year, I take a break. So it might be 3 weeks, it might be 2 weeks, it might be a month, but I just remove myself. I usually delete the app, and I just take a break. And it's really nice to not have to keep up. And then another important thing, which I kind of just recently decided was really important to me, was I don't need to follow everybody. I don't need to feel like I have to comment on everything. I don't have to like everything, because we just don't have the time and we don't have the energy. So I have curated my feed, so it makes me happy. So if I'm seeing things I don't like, or I'm part of conversations that I'm not enjoying, or I'm just things are popping up that are getting in the way of me staying on my, you know, my task of my business, then I just unfollow. And it might sound cruel, but it has literally changed the game for me in the last couple of months. And I highly recommend cleaning up your feed and just, you know, it just creates so much more time. You don't realize how much time you spend mindlessly scrolling and scrolling and scrolling. And that's pretty much it. But those are my four tips, I guess you could call them, that have really helped me just stay true to myself. And just quiet the noise, because as much as it's nice to see all the work all the time, there's a lot to keep up with here. So I find if I just keep it streamlined, keep it simple, keep it helpful to me, then I can be more helpful to others.
I love that.
Thanks.
Very helpful.
Me too. I love it. I should do that.
So I have a lot of similar things that I practice as Karen. I also work out pretty much every day before I start working. I have to get my heart rate up. I just need to feel like alive, and it makes me feel super motivated the rest of the day if I start out knowing that I took care of my health first, because then if nothing else works out the rest of the day, then I know I did that, and so I still feel like I accomplished something. So that's first for me. And then I also I really try to keep set work hours each day. I didn't do that at first, because I went from having set work hours to not, and I kind of liked having the freedom, and I found that it just wasn't working for me. So I typically will work like 9 to 3 during the week. And that way, stopping at 3 gives me time to like have some time by myself, get cleaned up before like my husband gets off work and my kid gets home, and I have to start like doing things for them or cooking or whatever. And it just gives me enough time to where it's not like me running around like crazy. And I feel like that it works wonders for me with work home life balance, working from home and all that. The other thing I do as far as Instagram, I like to I have mine set up on a 1 hour limit. So once I've been on Instagram for an hour, it will alert me and I get off. And so most of the time that will be fine most all day. And sometimes I still don't even get the alert, but sometimes depending on if I have a post that I just put up, I'll reach that hour limit pretty early in the day. And so then I just have to not get on there again. And so that kind of, I don't always stick to it, but it's a good reminder, and it helps keep me on track and keep me focused on my actual work and not social media. I highly recommend setting that up on your Instagram. And then another thing is I try not to work on weekends. The only time I work on weekends really is if I am like behind on a custom piece. But you know, unless I'm behind, I really try not to do weekends. It's good for me to spend time with my family and have some downtime. And then the last thing is I only work on one piece at a time. I'm just the way my brain works. If I have more than one piece going at a time, I get frazzled and I start making like mistakes or taking shortcuts. And I've just found that it just doesn't suit me at all to work on more than one piece at a time. So, yeah.
Awesome. I like a lot of those.
I love it too. I love them all.
Definitely learn.
Do you guys do the Instagram limit? Like, do you have it set up?
I do have a limit, only 3 hours per day. And I have like the alert when, like, let's say if you post something, it will alert me. Then I can go and check, you know?
Yeah.
That's what I do.
Yeah, a notification.
But for me, it's a little bit kind of different because I do take care of my grandkids. So I'm all day with them and I paint at nights. When they nap, like from 12 to 2, that's when I strip or do something outside. But I do like working with one piece at a time. I can't I can't do two or three. I just can't. It's too much for me. So I deal with one piece at a time, little by little.
Sounds like we're all in agreeance there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do your grandkids ever want to help you or are they too little?
They're three and a half. And they do, they love, sometimes if I have, like, let's say I have a piece inside the house all the time. So they get a piece of sandpaper and they start sanding. Or the brush, they love it. And then they, if someone comes home, is it, Mimi did this, Mimi did this, Mimi paint this. They start showing off the pieces. It's so, they're so funny. They're so, kids are so smart nowadays. It's a new world, like totally different. Like when I had my kids, they were like, I will just put them a movie or something and they will sit down and watch the movie. These kids are everywhere. They're different.
No, completely. They're not going to fall for it.
Well, it sounds like you guys have a lot of, similar ideas on maintaining balance. You know, I was wondering, when did you realize in your refinishing business that this was going to be a challenge, meaning maintaining balance? Did this happen early on or has it been more in the last year or two?
I think for me, it's been kind of something I've approached when there is a problem. So, you know, if I found myself getting like really worked up about, you know, spending too much time on this or that, then that's where I would say, okay, what can I change? Mm-hmm. And just realizing all of these things are up to me. They're all in my hands. I am my boss, so I can control all of this. Mm-hmm. So when a problem arises, that's just when I figure out how to deal with it.
Yeah, I think it's important to remember that like being able to work for yourself is a really great privilege and something that we are almost our own worst enemies when we make it miserable. Mm-hmm. And so when we're feeling negative about what we're doing, I think that's a sign that you need to reevaluate your process. Like sometimes I'll find that I'm like not happy and I'm usually so happy when I'm painting furniture and why? And it's because I'm stressed out because I'm trying to finish a piece faster than, you know, is normal, or I got behind because I spent too much time doing this other thing, or I didn't get done in time to thaw the chicken and now we don't have dinner ready. You know, it's just like you have to notice when you're feeling different and you kind of have to fine tune what you're doing and fix it, because what's great about it is that we can do that.
Yeah.
We don't have a boss. We don't have somewhere we have to drive 30 minutes to get to work and come back. It's a huge thing that we have control over that sometimes we feel like we don't have control over. So,
Yeah. There's definitely the days where you're like, I got this, and you're Wonder Woman and you do all the things on your list. And then there's other days where I'm like, I just want to do a puzzle today. And so that's what I'm going to do. And no one's going to stop me.
That's what we should do. Yeah.
You know, exactly. It's not something I take for granted. I mean, I've had day jobs before and, you know, I don't look down upon them at all, but it's just like anyone that would need a mental health day and call in sick. Sometimes I just call myself in sick and I just don't adult that day. So.
Yep.
Karen, maybe you just Mod Podge a puzzle onto a piece of furniture.
That's an idea.
We are very fortunate that we do what we do because we love it, and we can accomplish so many things because we are our own bosses, and that's the beauty of what we do, because there's people out there that they have their daily jobs, and I mean, we can create, and I mean, that's the beauty of what we do. that we can, like Karen says, that we can handle as much as we want because we are our own bosses. And if we don't want to do this, we just don't do it.
Uh-huh. Right.
Well, I think it's hard too when you really enjoy something.
Yes.
To not let it consume you, you know, to the point that yeah. the most important things in your lives are being sacrificed. And it sounds like you guys have really understood that well. And so you've created the kind of balance that you need that's healthy for you. So, you know, kudos to all three of you. Excellent discussion, maintaining balance. I know our listeners will come away with, you know, being encouraged that they aren't the only ones who have this challenge. And they certainly will have ideas on how to move forward with better balance in their work. Congratulations, Juanita, Karen, and Sarah. You all are absolutely top-notch refinishers and definitely a value to this community. So we say congratulations and thanks for this time.
Thank you. Thank you, Lane.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much, Lane.
Welcome to a new segment on our podcast called The Beginner's Bucket, an opportunity for new refinishers to ask questions from their more experienced refinishing friends. Thank you, Tara, with Resurrected Peace, for this great new segment idea. If you have a question that you would like answered, just send me an email at laneball@enjoyzebra.com and we'll ask an experienced refinisher and play the answer here on the podcast. Our first question comes from Tara, and the question is, how do I involve my family in my business and make it fun? Sarah Bolton with Sitting Pretty Home Decor answers her question.
Hey, Tara, great question. And with six kids, it's one that I've definitely heard before. I think the best way to get everyone involved and have it be fun is to just make it fun. Curbside finds, pieces that aren't necessarily good refinishing candidates, like laminate or pressed wood type pieces are great for kids. You know, if you feel comfortable giving them a little bit of paint, sandpaper, you know, quote unquote tools, you know, give them a stick and tell them to pretend it's a screwdriver. We took some scrap wood and glued them together and painted them different colors to make it look like a little surf prep sander and put some Velcro on it and attached sandpaper. And my 2-year-old, you know, can sand with me, even though he's not actually sanding. Zebra paintbrushes have wooden handles. Those are great for kids to paint. You kind of just have to find something that occupies them that's similar to what you're doing so that they feel involved and feel like it's part of the process, but they're not actually refinishing a piece. And as far as like older kids and spouses, that type situation, just relinquishing a little bit of control. My teenagers, I give them jobs like editing photos, you know, helping me with reels, things like that, moving pieces. And my husband likes to tinker. So any little tinkering things, fixing drawer slides, hardware, that type of stuff, I give to him because he's more apt to help me if it's something that he enjoys.
Thanks, Sarah. With six kids and an accomplished refinisher, I believe that makes you an expert for sure on answering this question. Love the suggestions. Today's refinishing tip comes from Lee with Great Horse CC.
Hello, my name is Lee from Great Horse CC. First off, I feel honored being asked to share a refinishing tip on the Zebra's Before and After podcast. The refinishing tip I'm sharing today is why make a list and my three most important steps for refinishing furniture. I have an abstract random work ethic, so flying by the seat of my pants and let's see where it goes is my normal. That was okay when I was creating for me, but now that I'm creating for others, a list is necessary. I find it helpful to keep an ongoing list of basic prep steps on my phone or my computer. So depending on the condition of the piece that I'm refinishing, I can easily add or delete steps. A list sounds so basic, but I've learned it's the basic reminders that make what can sometimes seem to be overwhelming become simple. I view each piece of furniture as a story. So naturally, the list becomes an outline with a beginning, middle, and end. It's refreshing to be able to see it all on paper. Every piece I have refinished has been unique, so the steps are not always in the same order. Each list I make is geared for that specific piece, and so far, I haven't come across a piece of furniture where all the steps have been the same. My top three most important steps are 1. Having an organized, clean workspace. Organized surroundings make it quicker and easier to find all the tools needed for the project I'm currently working on. 2, assessing the piece of furniture thoroughly before the starting process. This is important because this is where I find the extra steps to add to the prepping basics. For example, if the piece is damaged, it may need to be glued and clamped. So repairing goes to the beginning of the list. And yes, if you're wondering, I did do this step last, once. This happened while I was flying by the seat of my pants and without a list. Third, using a bin to gather and keep all the supplies together for that particular project. The bin is also helpful for end-of-the-day pickup, which brings me back to an organized space. Making a list helps to be organized, keeps the project on track from start to finish, resulting in saving lots of time. And as we all know, time is money.
Thanks so much, Lee. It's time to hear what your refinishing friends are up to. Here are a few reporting on what they're working on in their studios this week.
Hi everyone, it's Caitlin here from Lake Simcoe Furniture Revival, and I'm going to be talking about what I'm working on this week. So I'm working on two different projects, the first one being a set of nightstands for a client. We're going with a clean, simple sort of look. We're going to just do an all-over white with gold hardware. And then my second project is a large Gibbard sideboard. And for that one, I think I've decided on my go-to color, which is Fusion Mineral paint in the color ash. I just wanted to say thank you to Zebra for asking what I'm up to this week.
Hey guys, what's up? It's Jill in sunny St. Cloud, Florida with Voltage, where I take vintage goods and recharge them. This week, I'm working on the most amazing 1980s nine-drawer oak dresser. It has curved edges and arched doors. I'm going for a completely monotone look using Melange's Tobacco Brown. It's a very rich, moody color. The handles, the drawer fronts, the dresser body, all of it will be the same color, other than a little bit of the original brass hardware trimming the handles. After that, I'm going to top coat, which is my very least favorite thing to do, but I'm super excited because I ordered Zebra's top coat brushes, and so I get to try those out this week, and anything that's going to make top coating easier is 100% welcomed. When it's all put together, I'm trying something a little different this week for staging. I'm going to stage it and photograph it in about 4 to 6 very completely different styles. I feel like sometimes when you stage a piece and post it on your feed, people can only picture it in that style that you have staged it in. And because it's going to be such a bold piece, I really want to show it can still be versatile and it can still work with many different decor styles. So if you want to follow along and see how it all comes together, come find me on Instagram. My handle is Voltage_STC, or over on Facebook is at Voltage_STC. So come see how everything turns out, and I hope you all have a great week.
Hey Zebra community, this is Maggie with A Pinch of Paint. This week I'm working on a Thomasville server. I think it would make a very cute sofa table or plant stand. I'm thinking that I'm going to go with black. I've been doing a lot of white and navy, so I'm ready for a change. The table has a ton of detail, so I'm going to be using my Zebra square brush to get into all those spaces. I'm also hoping to get started on a mid-century modern 6-drawer dresser. I'm thinking maybe navy or green. Can you tell that I like navy? You can find me on Instagram at _pinchofpaint_ or on Facebook at @apinchofpaint.
Thank you, friends. Listeners, make sure you go check out their social media feeds. Podcast giveaway alert. Yes, this is an actual giveaway. So here's the deal. This is the beginning of our 4th season, and we have thoroughly enjoyed all the past seasons and episodes, and we have lots of fun and insight to share this year in season 4. We want to continue to grow this community and this podcast, and one of the most effective ways is to leave a review on Apple iTunes or any of your favorite podcast apps. Between now and Friday, February 25th, midnight Eastern Standard Time, we will give away a surprise Zebra paintbrush to all who leave a written review on the podcast. Once you leave the review, make sure you screenshot your review and then email it to laneball@enjoyzebra.com along with your full name and mailing address. We will ship out that surprise Zebra paintbrush and you will help us grow the podcast. It's Wednesday, February 23rd, and we wanted to make you aware of another giveaway, and this one is on our Instagram account. If you go to our account, Zebra Painting, and see yesterday's post, you will learn about a fun giveaway that features the favorite Zebra paintbrushes of our 5 Zebra Review judges, with the handles painted in their favorite colors. It even includes their signature on the brush handle, and you have the opportunity to win them. Simply go to the post and learn about the details. We wanted to do something fun to launch this year's Zebra Review monthly contest that start back in March. We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Zebra's Before and After Furniture Refinishing Podcast. Today's episode, along with the information about today's guest, is also featured on enjoyzebra.com under the podcast tab at the bottom. Your comments and suggestions for future episodes are always welcome, and we encourage you to share them by sending your emails to me at laneball@enjoyzebra.com. Thanks for listening. Stay safe and happy refinishing.